Welcome to worship with Dawson Memorial Baptist Church. At Dawson, we seek to be found faithful as God's people as we become and help others become faithful servants of Jesus Christ. Now join us as we worship God through the teaching of His Word in today's message.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. And before we consider today's message, let me just say a heartfelt thank you to Pastor David for giving me the privilege to be able to share God's word with you this morning. As Brad mentioned in the welcome just a few minutes ago, my name's Jonathan Probst, and I have the privilege of serving as your discipleship pastor. That means that I get to work on a daily basis with an amazing team of God-called men and women who want to partner with you to be able to accomplish Dawson's mission. Our mission is to become and help others become faithful servants of Jesus Christ. Now, a little bit about my family. I'm married to Elaine, and most recently, we celebrated 25 years of marriage. I mean, it's amazing. It's come so quickly. And then my kids. My oldest is Mary Beth, and just 3 weeks ago, she graduated from Union University in Jackson, Tennessee, with her major was criminal justice and psychology. And around our house right now, this is what we say: Mary Beth, your full-time job is looking for a full-time job. And my son Ben, he just completed his first year of studies at Asbury University as a student athlete. His major is business administration with a minor in Bible and theology. And he loves playing baseball for the Asbury Eagles. I hope you've had an opportunity to find Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. As we consider this morning, three conversations that Jesus has with three would-be disciples. Now, these three conversations remind me of some conversations that I've had in the past where I've made the following statement: I will when I, and fill in the blank. For example, I'll have my first child when I have X number of dollars in the bank. Or I will get married when I've saved X number of dollars. Or better yet, I will buy my first house when I've been able to save that 20% down payment. Now, all of these statements are great statements because what they say about us is we're willing to sit down and count the cost. We're willing to be able to be good stewards of God's resources that He's entrusted to us. In reality, did you know that it will cost you over $300,000 to raise a child from the time that they're born till they're 18? On average, that would be about $17,000 a year. Now, in 2021, they did another study that really encouraged us, and they said it's going to cost over $21,000 a year. Well, what about getting married? You'll be encouraged. The average cost of a wedding in the United States, $29,000. Good news, we live in Alabama. and it only cost us $20,000. Now, there's a part of my story that about my family I didn't share with you. My daughter, Mary Beth, oh yeah, she's engaged to be married. So in 2025, you better believe I'm going to be sitting down and counting the cost of a wedding. What about buying a house? Well, you've read the storylines. If we were to take out a $500,000 mortgage for a home right now, it will cost us several hundred more dollars than it did just a few years ago. What about the cost of following Jesus? How much does it cost to follow Jesus? Well, Jesus encourages us with these three conversations with three would-be disciples. And I want you to notice the first conversation where Jesus wants us to count the cost of comfort. You follow along in verses 57 and 58. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." We notice in verse 57 that someone initiates a conversation with Jesus. Now, we have to leave the Gospel of Luke and we have to go over to the Gospel of Matthew to be able to identify who this someone is. When we do that, we find in Matthew's Gospel that this someone is a scribe. And this scribe is extremely eager to follow Jesus. What do we know about scribes in this particular day and time? Well, first, they were esteemed in Jewish life. They were very educated, and they were experts of the law. They enjoyed being loyal to the Jewish system. Also, in this day and time, there were rabbis who would have groups of followers, students, that would learn from their teacher. Now, the text doesn't tell us this, but it's possible that this particular scribe knew about Jesus, and he knew about the popularity of Jesus, and he had a desire to be known as one of Jesus's followers. He wanted to have the prestige and the clout that went with being one of Jesus's followers. But how does Jesus respond to this scribe? Jesus says, there are going to be some times when you're not going to have a place to lay your head. We're not headed on this road to Jerusalem to a 5-star hotel. Oh, there's going to be some times that we're not even going to have a place to stay. Now, this was fresh in Jesus's mind because just earlier, if you glance at Luke chapter 9, verse 51, you'll notice that Jesus had set his face to Jerusalem. And in order to get to Jerusalem, he had to pass through a town called Samaria. Now, we're very familiar with this town because of other stories in the New Testament. And as Jesus went through Samaria, what he experienced there is that the people did not receive him. James and John, also known as the sons of thunder, wanted to call down fire from heaven and consume them. But Jesus rebuked them, and they went on to another village. So there are going to be times, if you choose to follow Jesus, when you're not going to have a place to lay your head. In following Jesus, do not expect comfort. Do not expect easy. Following Jesus is hard, but it's worth it. This conversation also reminds me of Luke chapter 9, verse 23. You're familiar with this verse. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus wants self-denial. But because of our sin nature, we tend to look at our own needs and our own personal comfort instead of the needs of others. Oh, if you're looking for a path this morning that's paved with ease, with comfort and convenience, following Jesus is not that path. While following Jesus is difficult, it's worth it. Let's notice our second conversation. You'll find the second conversation in verses 59 and 60 as Jesus challenges us to count the cost of concern. Let's read together. To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." What's going on here is this would-be disciple wanted to be able, as a good Jew, to take care of his father and bury him. Now, there is a debate among scholars on whether or not this would-be disciple's father is already dead or is he near death. Well, what's interesting to note here is that if this would-be disciple's father was already dead, as a good Jew, he would not have been on the road with Jesus headed to Jerusalem. In fact, he would have been back home taking care of the needs of his father's burial. I mean, you know, in Jesus' day and time, they did not have the same process of embalming that we have today. So if your father passed away in that day and time, burial often followed that same day. Notice what Jesus' reply was to this would-be disciple. He said, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Well, I don't know about you, but dead people don't bury dead people. So what was he doing here? Jesus was giving us a wordplay. What he was actually saying to us is, let the spiritually dead bury their own physical dead. Those who are spiritually dead are not following Jesus. It's a great reminder for us to be able to focus on the eternal and not the temporal. And it helps us to understand what Jesus expects with our own earthly relationships. As I mentioned before, it's highly likely that this man's father was still living. He may have been near death, but what this man wanted Jesus to understand is, "Jesus, I need some time. I need some time to get back home, spend the last days with my father, be able to give him the proper burial, and then also participate in the inheritance." Jesus reminded this would-be disciple that the cause of preaching the kingdom of God is far greater than your earthly family concern. It's a fresh reminder to us that as we seek to be Jesus' disciples, we should strive to love and to respect our own earthly relationships. But we will also be able to know that Jesus and our love for him should far outweigh our commitment toward any other person. This is costly, and that's exactly the point Jesus was trying to make. Our love for him should be costly. Notice what Jesus is not telling us to do in this conversation. Jesus is not asking us to dishonor our mother or our father. What he's reminding us is that Jesus takes first place in our lives. You're familiar with the greatest commandment. You're familiar with the second greatest commandment. The second greatest commandment is that we're to love our neighbors as much as ourselves. And the greatest commandment is that we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and all of our strength. Oh, yes, we're to love our families, but Jesus is calling us to love him even more. We should be willing to take up our cross daily, follow him even to Calvary. Now I want us to look at our third conversation. You'll find the third conversation in verses 61 and 62. As we consider the cost of connection. The cost of connection. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, when we encounter this third would-be disciple, we see an initial desire to follow Jesus. But what he's asking to do is he's asking to go back home and to say goodbye and farewell to those he was connected to. It was his friends. It was his relatives. It was his co-workers. And it was his neighbors. Jesus' response was extremely straightforward. He says, no one. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, this reminds me of the summers that I spent in Kentucky. Now, some of you know my story, or a portion of my story. You know that I grew up in a single-parent home. And when summertime would come, we did not have the types of options that we have today during the summer. I was not able to sit down and take this little list of summer camps and choose which one I wanted to go to, or two, or three. Those options were not available to me back then. But as I reflect back on my summers in Kentucky, I am so grateful. In fact, I'm eternally grateful that my mom decided that I would spend my summers with my grandparents in Kentucky. In fact, I have so many fond memories of spending time with my grandfather. And I remember, my grandfather taught me how to wash a car for the very first time. He taught me how to mow the yard on a riding lawnmower for the very first time. And I remember, it was probably the hottest day in July. And we were out there sealing not one, but two of his driveways. And then one day, he asked me, he said, would you mind helping me prepare the garden? You know what this meant. This meant an encounter with the garden tiller. Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday. As a young boy, this tiller was so big. It was probably the same size as I was at that particular time. And he said that I had one job: till the garden in a straight line. Well, as he fired up that tiller and I grasped those two handles of that tiller and I began to make a straight line, I realized that my grandfather had not given me all of the information that I needed. He did not tell me not to look back. So as I'm making my way and I'm tilling the garden, thinking I'm doing a pretty good job, I look back over my right shoulder and I notice that I'm doing a pretty good job. But at that particular point in time, the garden tiller took on a life of its own. It went left, it went right. My grandfather, he had to step in, take over, grasp those handles. He stayed focused in a straight line and he tilled that garden. It was the straightest line I'd ever seen. It was as if he had been doing this for years and years and years. Oh, it was an experience I will never forget. And it taught me a valuable lesson, not only in tilling a garden, but also following Christ. Stay focused on what's ahead and not what's behind you. This is not an easy task. It was not an easy task for me as a young boy. It is also not an easy task for us. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Jonathan, this applies to the missionaries. This applies to the missionaries that are called by God to leave what is comfortable, to leave their friends and their relatives, their co-workers and their neighbors, and to go following God's call thousands and thousands and thousands of miles from here. Well, that's true. It does apply to missionaries. In fact, as I was sharing that, you're probably thinking about the faces of the missionaries that you know. Faces of people who used to occupy these pews. And God placed a call on their life to go and to follow him. And so they picked up everything and they followed him. This call applies to you. This call applies to me. But what God may be calling you to do is different. He may be calling you to take a new job and to follow him to a new city where you have to leave all of your friends and all of your relatives, all those neighbors and deep relationships that you have, pick up and move to a city where you really don't know anyone. In fact, that's been my reality for the last year. As I think about God calling our family to Birmingham. And in fact, Elaine and I have had conversations. Our kids have had conversations. There's a real temptation for us to be able to look back. To look back at 16 years of relationships with friends, with neighbors, colleagues in ministry. It's a real temptation. But Jesus is faithful. And he's faithful to focus us on what's ahead. He reminds us, you're only 1/16 in. You've only been here a year. Don't have 16 years of expectations in year one. Build relationships with the people that God puts in front of you. Reach out to the neighbors and your coworkers that God's calling you to build relationships with. God is faithful. But maybe in your life, God didn't call you to relocate. But maybe you're at a job where the company no longer holds the same values as you hold. And God's calling you to leave that job and go to another job. You'll have to say goodbye to those coworkers. You'll have to say goodbye to those friends. Maybe as a student, God's leading you to leave your school that is so familiar and go to another school. Maybe transfer from one college to another college. All of these decisions are costly, but all of these decisions are worth it. It reminds me of a thought that A.W. Tozer gives in one of his books about someone who would lay down his life on a cross. He says a person on a cross would be facing only one direction. A person on a cross could never turn back. A person on a cross would no longer have any plans of his own. Now, while this is true about Jesus on a cross, he expects us to live in this manner as well. This will mean for us that we're going to face in only one direction. We're going to be committed and passionate about following Christ in our lives. We're not going to get distracted from that focus. It means we can never turn back, even when the world does. It will mean that we'll no longer have plans of our own. Oh, we'll sit down. We'll count the cost of comfort. We'll count the cost of concern. We'll empty ourselves and let go of what we think is ours, and we'll choose a humble, obedient pathway of following Christ. It reminds me of a familiar hymn. I have decided to follow Jesus. Listen as I read the words to this hymn. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Will you decide to follow Jesus today?
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about our family of faith or to learn how to become a follower of Jesus, please visit dawsonchurch.org. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.